Jesus, this morning we immerse ourselves in gratitude and humility in your goodness. You are so beautiful beyond our comprehension that you would love and save people like us. You wash away our sins. That you being the Holy Lamb of God would reach down and rescue sinners. And not only leave us that way, but make us holy, transforming our lives. We thank you for this rich relationship that we can have. You died in our place. You became a propitiation. You sacrificed yourself to turn away the Father's wrath. You made us right with you through the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. You redeemed us from our sinful ways. You set us free from being slaves to the devil, and we thank you and praise you, God. And Lord, as we come to your word, I pray that you'd remove our thoughts and opinions and all the things that are distracting in our hearts, God, that your word would pierce each and every one of our hearts and transform us for your glory, that we would be the light that you've called us to be, to shine in this dark world. Jesus, we recognize you are the light of the world. You've called us out of darkness and into your light, not just your light, but your marvelous light, your glorious light. And we worship today in the glory of your presence with our faces shining because of you. Lord, I pray that you bless each person in this room today. God, I pray that you'd be with those that are carrying a burden right now, that you would allow them to release that to you, to lay that burden down before you and to let you have it. For those that are praying for a job, God, that you provide a job. Those that are praying for healing, for sickness. Those that are praying today for loved ones that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, God. I pray that you'd speak your words of peace and grace and power, because we serve you as Almighty God, as Yahweh, as the one who can do much more than we can even imagine or think of. You're a God that is far above the earth. The nations are like a drop in the bucket to you. Oh God, you are so powerful. You are so mighty. And we bow in reverence this morning before you. And we give you all the praise, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated as the children are dismissed to junior church today. What an awesome time that we can share together in the presence of God. Well, it's Mother's Day. And just ironically, we talk about how God shines in his glory and might. We have a chapter in the Bible by the guy by the name of Lemuel wrote, perhaps about his wife, perhaps about the influential women in his life. But in it is packed with wisdom. And part of that is God has called us to make our women shine through their celebration, especially women who fear the Lord. Proverbs 31, verse 28, and we're going to go into Proverbs 31, so if you could turn there, refers to this kind of blessing. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. The word praise makes her shine. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So today we have a challenge to give your radiant woman or women in your life, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, wives, friends, what they've worked for and the credit they deserve, and make your wife or mom shine, make her radiate, and just bless her. This is probably the cards many of us should send to our mothers, and not just our biological mothers, but those in the church that have mothered us as well, and we can thank them that they haven't sent us to the circus. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed a new national holiday called Mother's Day on May 9 in 1914. Anna Jarvis, who lived from 1864 to 1948, first suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers because she had loved her own mother so dearly. So at a memorial service for her mother on May 10, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea of the day of honoring mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities in the U.S. on May 9th by an act of Congress and President Woodrow Wilson. He proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. By then, it became customary to wear white carnations to honor our departed mothers and red to honor the living, a custom that continues to this day. I thank God for the women God has put and brought into our lives. And Ephesians 5 talks about the balance, the delicate balance of love and respect before we launch into Proverbs. But I just want to read that. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." You see from that text, men in general desire to be respected while women desire to be loved. And the two go hand in hand. And so if as a man you are demanding that women respect you but are not showing the kind of sacrificial love Ephesians talks about, you're self-centered, a self-centered controller, and an abuser. Amen. Well, think of that then. As a man, if you are demanding that women respect you but you're not showing sacrificial love, you're a manipulative controller and abuser. So, on the other hand, as a woman, you are demanding that men love you but are not showing respect to them, you are also a manipulative, controlling abuser. So, if as a man you regularly exercise love for your wife, the women in your life, mothers, aunts, grandmothers, you regularly exercise respect for them, and your relationship will be healthy and whole. See, love fosters respect, and respect fosters love. Your wife will be radiant, and your husband will be well known in public. That's how it works together. There's a quote from that movie, Fireproof, that says, "A woman is like a rose, and if you treat her right, she will bloom. If you don't, she will wilt. If you treat her right, she will bloom. If you don't, she will wilt." So I want to take a look today at what a woman who is excellent looks like. And so for some of us, this might be a difficult day because our mothers might have passed on, or maybe we've had bad experience with mothers. But I would urge you and encourage you in the church of God to find a mother that is a good example and is a mother that you can cling to and latch on to provide what you need in that area. And perhaps it's a day of rejoicing. Perhaps you're saying, "Well, I'm single and I'm not a mother. What does this have to do with me?" So young men, if you're not married, or young women, if you're not married, this could be what you can aspire to be. And young men, what you aspire to look for. And remember, keeping in mind that sacrificial love, young men, that you need to develop in order to make a woman blossom into what this passage lays out in Proverbs 31. And we're going to begin in verse 10 today. But number one, a woman who is excellent. And that word excellent means strength or might, the might of an army. It's from the root word, which means to twist, to twirl, to dance. So I picture that idea of an excellent woman as someone who dances or twirls the beauty of strength. You can maybe picture a dance in slow motion of a dress whirling around, He says, this is the word excellent. He says in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. You know, so the first thing that I want to bring out of this passage as we read verse 11 and 12 is that a woman who is excellent is a faithful and a trustworthy wife. Look in verse 11. He says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of your life. Young men, look for a woman like that. And I changed the title of my message today to The Traits of an Excellent Woman, and as far as not saying the traits from a woman who fears the Lord, and we'll find out at the end of the sermon why I did that. Because you could have all these traits, but if you don't have the fear of the Lord, I already gave it away, it's meaningless. All these traits are meaningless. So she's trustworthy. In other words, she knows the way to her husband's heart. And many of the moms and wives have been that to us in our lives. She brings gain or increase to her husband, and she's faithful to bring good rather than harm to her husband. It says for her whole life. And I want you to notice the extremities in here, how it's worded in such extreme ways. All the days of her life. It doesn't just say she did a good thing for somebody at one moment. Is something that a woman that perseveres her whole life in doing good. And number two, a woman who is excellent is a strong entrepreneur. You know, we kind of have a wrong idea usually. Women are to be seen and not heard. That's our kind of the history of maybe our great-grandparents and grandparents' generation. And we have this picture of a wife that just sits at home and crocheting or doing needlework and, honey, bring me a drink. You know, that sort of mindset. That's totally not what the Bible pictures as an excellent woman. Look what it says in verse 13. He says she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. So in other words, she's willing. She is like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. So you can imagine those huge ships that bring shipments of food. She is like a strong worker. She rises while it is yet night. I don't know about you, but I don't rise while it's yet night usually, unless I have to make a flight or something like that. An airplane leaves that early or something. She rises while it's yet night, and she provides food for household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field, and she buys it with the fruit of her hands and plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. So first of all, she seeks out resources. She's a bargain shopper and thrifty. My wife is like that. Look for women that are like that to model yourselves after women. She willingly works hard. She provides food. She's a good investor. So it's not just the husband's work to go out and invest and have a profitable business. A woman that is excellent is a strong entrepreneur. She looks for creative ways to create income. But not only that, she also prepares herself. She says in the word there in verse 17, she dresses herself with strength. In other words, if there's a skill she doesn't know how to do, she learns how to do it. She prepares herself. She knows how to make a profit. And so I want to encourage you, women, that God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you all kinds of ideas of things that you can do. Don't ever let anyone hold you back, because this is what the Bible says is a trait of an excellent woman. She's not afraid to go out and use her gifts and talents in the world and make profit and bless people and bless her family and go on in that way. Billy Graham said that he had a favorite story about a husband who was not given very much attention to his wife. So Mother's Day rolls around and he started feeling guilty. And he never usually bought anything. So after all, he argued, she's not my mother. Men, that's bad reasoning. I'm just going to tell you. She's not my mother. I don't have to help with the dinner today at home. Bad reasoning. This particular year, he decided to make Mother's Day different. So on his way home from work, he bought a box of candy and some flowers to surprise her. So he arrives at home, walks up to the door, rings the doorbell. She opens it, and he stands there, candy in one hand and flowers in the other hand, crooning, I love you, truly, truly dear, I love you. And instantly she starts crying, but it's not tears of joy, but deep heartbreaking sobs. Oh, Harry, she cries, this is the worst day of my life. The dishwasher quit, the toilet backed up, the kids have been fighting all day. The house is a wreck, and now you come home drunk. She knows how to make a profit. A woman is an excellent, strong entrepreneur. I thought this was neat as far as a woman that works hard. And you know, a lot of times we don't give our wives and the women in our life credit for what they do. One vacation a day a year, and that's all I get. And we call it Mother's Day. But technically, you still have to work. Guess what my dear wife was doing all yesterday till late in the evening, preparing a Mother's Day meal for her mother for today. Number three, a woman who is excellent is a generous caregiver. Look in verse 18 on. He says, her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. You know, no one deserves a special day all to herself more than today's moms. There was a cartoon that shows a psychologist talking to a patient, and he says, let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children. I think I see your problem. Many of our women and our wives and our mothers and grandmothers work hard to provide for others. I think of my grandmother, especially in this way, who was such a generous caregiver. She was always thinking about others other than herself. And I want to encourage you women today, and men as well, don't buy into the idea that everything is all about you and I'm going to get what I want when I want and I'm going to sit back and let everybody else around do what they want to do. But a woman that's excellent is generous as a caregiver, always thinking about others. And notice about that, she helps the poor and reaches out to the needy even. And we have many of our women in this church that do just that. I know of one woman who gives up most of her Saturday mornings while I'm still sleeping and goes out and goes to garage sales and gathers sheets and blankets and clothes to send to people that have need in Ukraine. And there's other women in the church that do different things in different ways like that. She makes sure her family's basic needs are met. But notice the woman here. He says she clothed herself in scarlet. And I want to just say that scarlet was really, really fine clothing for back in that day. It was not just a regular tunic that was made out of wool, but it was dyed in these special shells that made it like a purple-red-like color. And it was the clothing of royalty. She made sure her family was clothed in the best clothes. And I want to say today, in America, there is absolutely no reason for people to be clothed in rags. We have thrift stores, we have yard sales, we have Gabriel Brothers, we have all kinds of things. And if you think that my wife, she dresses classy and she has all kinds of wonderful dresses and things, it has not broke the bank. It's not like the woman that goes out shopping. I'm going to go to Macy's and I'm going to spend $5,000 on this dress and then I'm going to get next. No, because an excellent woman is thrifty and she provides for her basic needs and she provides good clothing for her family at bargain prices. But it takes work. I call Tanya Coupon Coletta. Sometimes it takes clipping coupons. But a caretaker, she makes sure her family's needs are met. Our moms care. Your mom is the original seatbelt. Do you remember those days? She was also the original disciplinarian, somehow being able to drive, and her hands would reach all the way around those seats and around the other seat to the side to the other brother and the sister to whack them if they're not doing the right thing. Mothers are caregivers. Thank God for the temperament and of women who have such generous hearts to care. Number four. A woman who is excellent is a classy example inside out. I had to find it. I'm gonna probably get in so much trouble today for Mother's Day. But I look at my wife as a classy woman because she is. Look in verse 22. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now let me read here. This is the idea of an excellent woman. Fine linen is something bleached white, like linen. It's like the stone alabaster. It comes from the root word alabaster. So she carries herself and clothes herself with dignity. You remember Pastor Bob Spradling, who was 80 years old, who preached and has served the Lord in ministry. He always would repeat about his wife who had passed away not very long ago, and he would always say over and over again, "My wife walked with elegance and dignity. She dressed with dignity. She treated people in a dignified way." And that is the example of a woman who is classy, but not only on the outside, but on the inside. She makes her husband look good and famous in public. Did you notice that there in verse 23, he says her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Why is he known? It's not because of him. I can tell you that. It's because the way his wife takes care and manages his household. He was known in the city. It was like, man, they have their stuff together. She walks along the street in dignity. She feeds the poor. Well, that's what made the husband look good. She makes her husband look good and famous in public. She delivers fine quality products to the public. In verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She is not only exemplifying good character, which she lives in wisdom. He mentions two things there. She's a woman of wisdom, and we encourage our women to have skill. That word wisdom means to have skill in war, if need be. There were times when my mama had to go to war for me at school and my brothers and siblings. She has skill in administration, shrewdness, prudence in religious affairs and ethics. She has skills. She learns how to put into practice what she does. And you know, men, we can follow these examples as well. But she has kindness. And that word kindness means faithfulness. And it also means to show kindness to herself. But look in verse 26. When she says her husband's known in the gates. She looks well and she looks classy on the inside. She laughs at days to come. Did you catch that there? In the end of verse 25, she laughs at the time to come. Why? Because she is a preparer and a planner. She has no fear of the obstacles of the future. Back in 2016, I wrote down this quote that my wife, Tanya, said, "Life does not happen to her. She does things to make life happen." She's a preparer and a planner. Now, I don't always like to have everything planned out. I mean, there's days where we have our little tiffs because I decide at some time that I want to go and do this. And Tanya had already had a plan for the day in her mind. And so then I say, well, why don't we go shopping, or why don't we go do this, or go to the store, or why don't we go out to eat, or whatever. Well, I already have these food prepared, and I already had this plan, and she has a whole list in her mind. I don't know how she can keep a list like that in her mind without writing it down and remembering all those things. But she's a preparer and planner. She is not afraid of the future and the days ahead. That's a classy woman inside and out. And last of all, a woman who is excellent is a watchful manager. Look in verse 27. The Bible says the man is the head, but I'll tell you, the woman is the neck that turns the head. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, and I've seen this time and time again in churches. The men will come in and, I mean, a lot of times it's the women who lead in prayer. It's the women who have the spirituality and the relationship with God, and the men kind of follow along and say religious things sometimes. So men, make sure that you need to be, you cultivate that spiritual relationship with God. But a woman is called to manage the household. She looks well to the ways of her household. That word "looks well" means to spy, to observe, to watch closely. I have no idea what's going on in a lot of our bank accounts. I have no idea whether we went over our food budget. I have no idea whether we... She does, because she observes and watches as a good manager over the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And as a result, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. See, she is observant and watchful. She works hard to manage the household. She's not idle or lazy. She's not just sitting home crocheting. She has the respect and praise of her family. She goes above beyond. And evidently, Lemuel was talking about his wife. He says, there's many excellent women, but you surpass them all. Make sure you tell your wives that this day, or your mother. A mother teaches character to us. So my mother taught me religion when I spilled grape juice on the carpet, and she said, "You better pray that stain will come out of the carpet." She taught me religion. She taught me logic from her decisive words, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you get in a car accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me stamina. You'll sit there till all that spinach is finished. And my mother taught me about the weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. A woman is excellent, is a watchful manager, and cares about the details of managing a household. There's a guy that says, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." And she says, "Thanks. Now go and wash your hands. They're filthy. And comb your hair and turn off the lights. Do you think I own the electric company?" A good manager of the household. So what is the conclusion of the proverb? A dignified woman makes sure that she looks good on the inside and out, that her family is clothed, that she walks in a dignified way as a daughter of the Most High God. But he says in verse 30, charm is deceitful. When he talks about charm, he's talking about elegance or acceptance. He says, here's a warning. You could have all these traits, but miss the most important ingredient. And then he says, beauty is vain. And that is, to be fair, to be literally beautiful, to look beautiful. We say, well, that's a beautiful woman. That's the word. He says, it's vain. It's like a vapor or breath or empty. So basically, without fearing the Lord, a woman's grace and elegance is a lie. Boy, you can cake on all the makeup you want to cake on, but if you don't have the fear of the Lord and the relationship with the Lord in your life, women, and I will say the same thing for men, you could get all the tractors and the trucks in the world and look, oh, I'm a man, watch me. But if you don't have the fear of the Lord, it's empty, it's vain, it's nothing. And so without fearing the Lord, a woman's fairness and her even her beautification process, which I saw part of that last night, it was like a green monster with green stuff on the face came out last night. But the process is empty. It's empty unless you have the fear of the Lord. And this is so important. What is fearing the Lord? We look at it this time as, am I afraid that God's going to strike me dead at any moment? Well, He can, and that's part of it, though only a small part. But first of all, fearing the Lord is respect for God. It's submitting to God in His creative order. It's aligning your morals and character with God. A woman who fears the Lord is reverent, is to be praised, is respectful. But notice how all those other traits won't work unless that kind of respect is for the Lord. Because if she has that respect for the Lord, she has that respect for other men in her life, or her children, her family, her church. That all ties together. And then the other part of the fearing the Lord is reverence for the Lord, is prioritizing and worshiping God above anyone or anything else. It's fearing God more than we fear humans, angels, and circumstances. It's inspired by a godly fear. I am so like in awe in our worship time today. I had a few moments like this. So in awe of what God has done for me. So a woman that fears the Lord has this reverence for God. She puts God above anything and everything else. In fact, she's not afraid of her husband. She's afraid of the Lord first. She fears God. And so I want to say, and I'm just going to throw this in there for women, if your husband is abusing you physically, emotionally, if he strikes you ever or anything like that, you don't have to tolerate it. Because you fear God more than you fear him. Reach out to pastors or leaders. Talk to somebody that can help talk you through that. But do not under any circumstance let your husband constantly put you down with his voice, with his hand, or anything like that. You come to me, you come to the elders. Husbands, we'll show up at your house with pitchforks. Just have reverence for the Lord. You guard and protect your heart. And the last part of this reverence, the last R, is relationship. Relationship with the Lord, enjoying being with the Lord, loving and knowing Him. And what would those traits be without a relationship? Why does the wife and the woman do all these things for her family? It's because she loves her kids, because she loves her husband. And that flows out of a relationship with God. And so when we look at all these things, when a woman fears the Lord, she will truly be a trustworthy wife. She will truly be a strong entrepreneur who is not. Because this is what keeps a woman from becoming obsessed with her career at the expense of her kids and her family. Same thing for husbands. We fear God. It makes us trustworthy to our family as a strong entrepreneur. A generous caregiver. We have that relationship with God. We're able to give love to others. a classy example. We have that fear of the Lord, and we are in awe of the beauty of the Lord, that we carry ourselves in a beautiful and dignified way because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We walk with class. We dress with class. We speak with class. We live with class because we are not the bottom scum of the earth. We are people that were sinners that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have been raised up as the holy priesthood of God, and we're called to live in a dignified way. Let that sink into our hearts and soul in a powerful way. God has called us to be classy in our lives, in our godliness, in our wisdom, in how we live out our life with skill and putting to practice what the Word of God says. And then God calls us to be that watchful manager and the wife that manages her household well. So I want to encourage you today. Praise God for those women that pursue that. But I also want to say, men, we can promote this by love, 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 sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. Even when respect is not given back, keep giving sacrifice, keep giving love, and you will see this begin to come forth and shape. And you set that example of fearing God and having a relationship with Him, and lead your wife spiritually. Make our women shine today and always. The word of the Lord. I want to ask if our worship team would come today. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, first of all, as a man, and representing all the men in this room, and I'm sure they echo this with me in their hearts, forgive us for our lack of love. Forgive us for our lack of sacrifice. Forgive us for any ways that we may have abused the women in our lives through disrespect, through our words, through our actions. We ask, Lord, that you'd wash us clean with your blood. And Lord, I pray for every woman in this room that they would be inspired by this text to fear you. Inspired by this text to be good managers and stewards and entrepreneurs and classy and all those things laid out. Lord, I pray for those young men and women in this room who are not yet married. Pray that you prepare them and make them into men and women that are excellent and that fear you. And I don't want to leave today if you're here, and if you were to die today, you don't know where you're going to go. You know you've been in church and you might have even talked religion, but you've never received and experienced the forgiveness of God. I want you to know again that Jesus died in your place for your sins. And he rose again from the grave, and he calls us. It says, he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's as simple as putting our trust, transferring it from ourselves to putting our trust in God the Father. To put our trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross, and receiving his forgiveness. It's his work. Say, Lord, all I can step back is say, I receive it. I thank you, Lord. And God has called us as a response to that saving work to repent, to turn away from our way of living, to follow Jesus Christ. So if that's you today, you want to just look up at me and I will pray for you. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Don't leave this place without that. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for our wives. Thank you for our grandmothers and aunts. And thank you for our church mothers who have enriched and blessed our lives in so many ways. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those that this morning perhaps have been wounded by their mothers, that you would help them find healing and grace in you, and in perhaps a church mother. I pray that you'd help them to be strong and be with those that are grieving their mothers that have gone on into eternity. That you give them encouragement and joy today, and knowing in your goodness and your plan. Father, I pray you'd bless all of our women in this room in Jesus' name.